We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke at hand. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
In this service, yokes are destroyed, questions are answered. As we've gathered around your word, around your name, and in your presence, let no one return the same way that came here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that there are workings of miracles. I declare that light is shining in the dark places. I declare that revelation knowledge is our inheritance in this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we live here knowing what to do, knowing how to do what to do. We live here knowing where to go. We live here knowing light, having received the spirit of seeing and knowing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for hearing ears. Thank you for seeing eyes. Thank you for the impartations of your presence and of your glory. Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Lord, we receive the word of your grace to build us up and to give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thank you for the joy and the rejoicing of the hearts at the receiving of your word in this service. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And somebody say a big amen. Hallelujah. Can you rejoice just before you have your seat? Hallelujah. 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 You greet your neighbors on your left and on your right and be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Suba laga balagaya. Monte varasundo bratila kon zepataya. How many of you were blessed and edified by that short time of praying? Anybody? Amen. Hallelujah. I hope we'll have another 5 minutes again to pray at the end of the teaching. Praying here and there makes power available on a certain day. When you need certainty of power. The Bible says Jesus withdrew himself in the 6th verse of the 5th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. He withdrew himself into a solitary place to pray. Probably when he was praying, he didn't feel anything. But according to the record of scriptures, nothing happened as he was praying. The Bible says he went into a solitary place and prayed. But on a certain day, he was in his house in Capernaum teaching. The teachers of the law were present. The Pharisees were present. The doctors of the law. The scribes were present. And the Bible says something else was present. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. To heal them. Just the next verse. That's verse 17. The power of God was present. He said nothing about the power being present while he prayed. But on this day he was teaching, sir. He wasn't praying. And I'll say that in life, there will always be the certain day when you need a certainty of God's power. When you can't rely on human assumptions, you will need a certainty of God's power. Hallelujah. In that day, the praying here and there will make the power available. Glory to God forevermore. All right, we started sharing on prayer, fasting, and giving, the threefold cord for dominion. Okay, for dominating your year, or for dominion. And we journeyed last week to talk about fasting. We said many things about fasting. We have talked about prayer. And then we went into fasting, the principles of fasting. And we said that the first, quickly put, that Isaiah 58 verse 6 for me, so that we enter into giving and wrap up today. Hallelujah. Quickly put up Isaiah 58 from verse 6 for me. We said fasting is basically the principle of abstinence. That means every time you are fasting, you must honor the principle of abstinence. Amen. We said it's not just hunger strike. And we went further to talk about
the mental posture you must take when you fast as a believer. The first thing we said was what? A posture of consecration. The second thing, a posture of connection with the word. Okay. The third thing was what? Worship. Worship. How many did I give you? Four. What's the fourth one? A posture of meditation, thinking and planning. Yes. And I added one while we're praying, a posture of receiving. Hallelujah. A posture of receiving. When you fast with prayer, you cannot just live your normal life. Why? The concept of fasting is a principle of abstinence. Okay, for the purpose of focus, for the purpose of consecration, for the purpose of spiritual growth. Okay, that is what it's about. And then we'll talk about the different kinds of fasting and give a disclaimer. Amen. That setting fast has to be embarked on with wisdom and by the instruction of the Spirit. And I told you that I think I explained the three persons who fasted 40 days and 40 nights without food in the Bible. The first was Moses. He did it twice. And we said that Moses was in the direct presence of God. Okay. In the manifest presence of God. You know, Moses was Skyping with God. He used to Skype with God. He was there. So he wasn't, there was no interruption. He was just there. God gave him the Ten Commandments. God gave him the Ten Commandments. And those were just 10 sentences. If you have ever seen a picture or a depiction of the Ten Commandments. So what's the big deal about 10 sentences and 40, and then having it for 40 days? Alright, so we said it was beyond waiting for God to write the Ten Commandments. It was a time of fellowship. So the children of Israel was a law to keep, but to Moses it was his life. The Bible says the children of Israel knew his acts. They knew God's act. Moses knew his ways. He knew his ways. But he knew what it meant to tarry in the presence of God. So there was an incubation of God's presence. Amen. And in that dimension of the manifest presence, the last thing on your mind will be food. Okay, so we can call that a supernatural fast. Hallelujah. And by the way, God called him. God called him to come up to the mountain. Alright. So you can't declare a personal 40 days fast without food and water. Glory to God, until God calls you to that mountain. And please, even if you feel God is calling you to that mountain, cross check with authority figures. Hallelujah. I know I had to say that. The second person was who? Elijah. Elijah was giving angels food and went in the strength of the food for 40 days and 40 nights. And was it angel food? Angel's food is different from man's food. We may not be able to dissect the composition of that food, but the Bible says it was an angel baked for him and gave him to eat. And he says he went in the strength of that food. And the last person that we know of, according to the Bible, was Jesus. Okay. The Lord Jesus was driven of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to pray, okay, to fast and to be tempted of Satan. Hallelujah. So we have to bring that balance to fasting. Our anchor scripture remains Matthew chapter 6, 1 to 18. We can't go through it, but we'll just highlight three things from whence we got the three called from. Alright, it says when you give, when Jesus taught on three things, three concepts. It says when you give, when you fast, when you give alms, and when you fast. Hallelujah. When you go home, you can read that. So it's from there we got the three when. It says when you give, when you fast, and when you pray. He didn't say if. So we established that it's a necessary engagement for Christians, for believers in the New Testament. Okay, so you should give. You should know the laws that govern giving and maximize the benefits of that teaching, of that principle, of that concept. You should pray. You should know the laws that govern prayer. Okay, so that you can maximize the benefits and the blessings of prayer. You should fast. You should know the laws that govern the fast. And this is why we are teaching these things. Hallelujah. Listen, in the kingdom, what you do doesn't necessarily guarantee the results. The understanding that backs what you do is very important in the kingdom. In producing results in the kingdom, it's very important. In fact, I said the first day that the fastest way Satan can steal the blessing of any teaching, any concept, any principle, is to give you the religious view. Once you catch the religion of it, it will rob you of the blessing. Or once you get the human opinion. Do you know everything has human opinion? Every concept in the Bible has human opinion. Yes. Hope you know Christians are not the only people that fast. Hello. Hope you know we are not the only ones that pray. Come on now. Hope you know we are not the only ones that give. Hope you know we are not the only ones that meditate. Hope you know we are not the only ones that speak in tongues. Hey. Oh, you don't know? Other people speak in tongues who are not Christians. Somebody say, what? Yes, they speak in tongues who are not Christians. Wait, you think those magical chants, what human language do you think they got them from? Some of you had watched that old Melin. How many of you remember? I know those. What language do you think he's speaking? Let me tell you, there's a big book. There's a very big book called Glossolalia. It's not a Christian book. Your own session, your own tongue is just a part of that book. A very big book called Glossolalia. Glory to God. So now to be a Christian and be left behind is unfortunate. Is very unfortunate. Even in the occult, when people want to press into power, they speak in other tongues. In a magical world, in the different religions of the world, when they want to press into certain realities, they go in tongues. Glory to God. And a Christian is arguing, should the Christian speak in tongues? You are behind schedule. You are behind schedule. It's like living in the Stone Age in the 21st century. Glory to God. You want to communicate with someone in California. You write a letter, and then you are looking for it may be a post office. That one is even fast. Or you go on horseback and carry food that you are going to California. Once you meet the Atlantic, you turn back. Amen. So it doesn't just make sense. It doesn't make sense. The world has journeyed very fast. To be arguing, should the Christians speak in tongues? Should people speak in tongues? I'm telling you so that when you find people that think like that, you can counsel them. I made a statement last Sunday. I said, God has justified himself in that there is no denomination on earth that doesn't speak in tongues. That doesn't have people who speak in tongues, including Roman Catholic. Hallelujah. And I used to tell my Catholic friends who don't believe in tongues that Holy Mary, Mother of God, spoke in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, she was there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody received his or her portion, and she was there. So she spoke in tongues. Can I get an amen? Glory to God. All right. So understanding the laws that govern these things are very important. Quickly, let me wrap up the fasting in 58 from verse 6. I don't have much time. I will probably mention it again during the 5 days of glory. Every evening throughout this week. Okay. Obviously, but I will just read down and I want you to notice certain blessings of fasting and praying. Hallelujah. Is not this a fast that I have chosen? So we said there's a fast that God has not chosen. All right. To loose the bands of the wicked. Of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye may break every yoke. That means in fasting, yokes are broken. Fasting is God's program, it's part of God's program for breaking yokes and setting the oppressed free. That's spiritually now. We're going to get into the literal part of it and in helping the poor and bringing social justice. That means you can't say you are fasting and oppress people. You can't say you are fasting and close your eyes to oppression. You can't have a fruitful fast and not do something for the marginalized, the oppressed. What we call social justice. Hallelujah. That thou cover him. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thine house. Can you see that? Hospitality. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Next verse. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Listen, there's such a thing as alms fasting. And that's one of the things. I'm reading this so we can act deliberately. Amen. One of the things I want us to do before this 21 days is over is to look for somebody in need and minister to them specifically. Listen, intentional, being intentional about it. Even if it's one person. We may not call it a day, but I'm saying between now and Sunday, we're finishing on Sunday, look for someone who is in dear need. Or look for something and look for someone that it will be a blessing to. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. There's such a thing as alms fasting. I won't be able to go into that. I can teach a whole service on that. There's such a thing as alms fasting. Okay? He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. The blessings of fasting. You know what it means for your light to break out or break forth as the morning? This is talking about illumination, revelation, insight into mysteries and secrets. In the deep and intimate knowledge of God. That's what it's talking about. Meaning, current information from the Spirit coming to you. Glory to God. You know, there is the mountain of deliverance and there is the word of deliverance. When you got born again, you were relocated to the mountain of deliverance. But you see, as we face challenges, as we journey through life and Satan throw things at us, we need to receive in seasons the word of deliverance. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody following me? Meaning that God says, I will be with you whithersoever thou goest. Does it mean when you carry your car to go to Abuja and God, you have an impression, a strong weight in your heart, a strong perception of impending danger? You don't say, oh God, I said you protect me. No, you don't say that. That is the Spirit of God bringing to you current information in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Is somebody following me? There's such a thing as current information. It's already written that you are blessed. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. But you see, you go to pray and fast, and illumination come on how to make the money. Illumination come on what to do. That is spiritual current affairs. It's been written before you were born. The prosperity plan for you was set. But you see, these are current words to help you navigate and to help you move in the right direction based on what God is saying now. That is what the light is talking about. Sometimes it comes as literal liftings from the word. Sometimes it comes as it's packed in your heart. And in knowing, we call it the spirit of knowing, of seeing and knowing. Sometimes it comes to literal visions and revelations. Glory to God. But it comes like the major denomination where I grew up. It was a man that used to share his testimony then, who went to fast and pray, believing God for what to do. And as he was reading his Bible, he saw that you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Yeah, salt the earth, salt the earth. He went into salt business and became a multimillionaire. Amen. How can you explain that? Like, you may not make doctrine out of that, but that is his light breaking forth as the morning. That's his light breaking forth as the morning. Ask Bishop Idahosa, saw be of good cheer and change the furnitures in his house. The spellings are not the same. You know, chair up. CHEER. Say be of good cheer. And he says the new chairs are coming. He told his wife, he said, oh, be of good cheer. Our furnitures are bad. We receive new chairs. Few days later, somebody loaded furnitures in a truck and brought and said, God told him to bring. Glory to God. Light breaking. Light breaking. Illumination. We are not natural people. We are not natural people. We are not servants of human systems and structure. You know, we're talking in a meeting in the office yesterday and I said something. As much as we talk about the church always catching up on certain things and how that the world has gone ahead, don't get so far in loving the models, the corporate models, the financial models of the world, and forgetting your call. Do you understand? Our system is different. Glory to God. Our system is different. That means there will be instructions and illuminations that don't fit into the models that we see succeeding around. And you know in your heart this is what to do. Why? Your system is different. Your system is different. You must see everything the world has used that is beautiful, you must see it as a tool to use, not something that should control your decisions. Did you hear what I said? You see the corporate models, the financial models, the wonderful things, nice stuff. Use them as tools. But know that you are coming from somewhere. Know that you are God's technology. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Know that you are God's technology. That's what the Bible says. You are His technology. Your life shall break forth as the morning, and thine health, dear Lord Jesus, shall spring forth speedily. And the righteousness shall go forth before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be your rare reward. Next verse. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. It's about focus. Remember, he says, when you seek me with the whole of your heart, I will ensure that you find me. So it's about focus. It's not because God is waiting for you to fast. But see, fasting helps you focus. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Next verse. That means control what you say. Control what you say. Guide your tongue when you fast. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry. Can you see that? And satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity. This thing is twofold. Helping the poor literally. That's number one. And number two, helping the poor spiritually. That means when in seasons of fasting like this, it's time to tell people about God. Amen. It is time to share the gospel. It is time to deliberately propagate the gospel with more attention. Let me put it that way. It's time to be more concerned about the spiritual state of people's souls. It's time to invite your neighbors, your ethnos, your colleagues to church where they can hear the word, and give them materials, give them tips, give them materials, expose them to the gospel. Hallelujah. He said, then shall the light rise in obscurity, and the darkness shall be as the noonday. It's the same thing he's talking about. Next verse. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. I thought I was going to get an amen from there. Hallelujah. And they that be of thee shall be the waste places and all that. You can go and meditate on the rest. Those are the blessings. Okay, the great blessings of fasting. Amen. So let's talk about giving as a tool for dominion very quickly. Giving. Giving as a tool for dominion. We have many things to say. Well, let me see if I can give a compressed version. Okay. Or the giving part as a tool for dominion. Now, you will notice that from Genesis to Revelation, there is a connection between giving and dominion on the earth. There's a strong connection between giving and taking territory. Giving and subduing, giving and changing, having dominion over situations and circumstances, having dominion over your environment, and taking possession of your inheritance. The connection is too direct, and is everywhere all through scriptures. Hallelujah. We saw in Genesis 1. Now that has to do with tithing. Okay, let's go to Genesis 14. We saw in Genesis 14 that the man Abraham met this strange man called Melchizedek. And that Melchizedek gave a word about dominion. He said, blessed be Abraham of God. To be blessed means to be empowered to succeed, right? Blessed be Abraham of God, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And blessed be the God who has delivered thine enemies into thy hands. Now, he gave that word. What was Abraham's response? He gave him a tent. His response to that word of dominion was giving his tent. Watch this. When you get to Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews told us that Abraham gave the tent to the man Melchizedek whom he met. And Abraham, who had the promise, was blessed by Melchizedek. So connecting the workability, he said he already had the promise. But Melchizedek blessed him, meaning shifting him into the manifestation of the promise. Do you understand? His response is instructive. He gave him a tenth of all. Noah was saved and his household. The last part of Noah of Genesis chapter 8, we saw that after the flood, Noah did something. He took out of he took from the animals that were there and offered a burnt offering. And the Bible said the Lord smelled his sweet savor. Something came up to him. That is spiritual. And then he began to speak words of empowerment, blessings, and dominion. Look at this. And the Lord smelled his sweet savor, and the Lord said unto his heart, I will not again. And now he removed the curse and all that. When you go to chapter 9, go to chapter 9 and verse 1. But don't forget, you know, I'm making a connection for you. Noah took of the beast. Go back to maybe verse 19 of chapter 8. Noah took of the beast and sacrificed. Somebody say, it's not just beast. Does it mean anything? Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever. No, verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. Do you know, from this thing is likely some animals went in extinction. Very likely. Those that did not reproduce while they were in the ark. Very likely. That was why it was a sacrifice. And God smelled the sacrifice. Remember the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He says, your prayer and your almsgiving has come up as a memorial, as a statue. Therefore, I will establish your house in salvation. We're talking about giving. I'm building my argument. And the Lord smelled the sweet smelly savour and all that. Go to chapter 9 now from verse 1. A very strong connection between giving. And I'll talk about the three laws that govern giving and the four kinds of givings you must give attention to this year and all your life. And God blessed Noah and his son and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Practically the same thing he told Adam. Look at this. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast, but forget, every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air. Can you see that? That moveth upon the earth and upon them. That's dominion. That's dominion. That's dominion. Is that the stories are just there? I could go from persons to persons. When you get to Solomon at Gibeon, what he did at Gibeon. Listen, there's a difference between financial freedom and financial governance. And financial dominion. Do you understand? Financial freedom means just you and your family are free. Okay, maybe you now have money to live on, and you have a house to live in, and you have some cars to use. That's financial freedom. It's nice, but financial governance and dominion, that was what Solomon had. Meaning money was looking for him. Oh my goodness. That's where a man has dominion over mammon, mastery over mammon. That's different from financial freedom. You can be financially free and not have mastery over mammon. Listen, the only way to master mammon is spiritual. Mastering mammon is impossible without the interference of spirits. It's impossible. So we saw that Solomon entered into that realm through giving. The Bible says, at Gibeon, he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. I'm going somewhere. He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. Jesus didn't say, if you give, he said, when you give. Why? He knows. Listen, you cannot engage these three things and not come out of lack, of opposition, of crisis, anything. You can use it to handle anything. We call it a threefold cord. It cannot be broken. Satan comes at you and you understand these three things. Listen, the other things you need, these three things will lead you to them. The relationships you need, the requisite knowledge you need. Let me tell you, you are giving to fasting, prayer, and giving God's way. It will lead you to the other things that you need. This is why I called it foundational teachings in the first Sunday when I started it. It will guide you, it will lead you. Oh, it sure will. Hallelujah. It sure will. Solomon took the dominion. Just like that. Amen. Give me Isaiah 54 verse 3. And I'll go to 2 Corinthians 19. Isaiah 54 verse 3. It says, thou shalt break forth to the right hand and to the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Look up at me, everyone. Now, when using this to teach us your seed in giving, somebody may say, he's talking about your offspring. Just keep quiet and listen to me first. Now, do you know that in every verse and in every scripture, God stacks revelations? I think I've said it here before. Listen, the word of God, the revelation of God's word is in layers. Just like you, it's like onions. You peel, you meet another again, you peel off, you meet something again. That is how the revelation from scriptures are. They are in layers. Even the Jewish interpretation of scriptures talks about the four, right? I think I talked about the four layers of interpretation of scripture. Spiritual meaning, sort, literal meaning, prophetic meaning, and all that. Have we to notice that sometimes when Paul lifts scriptures from the Old Testament, when you look at the context with which he was quoted in that place, you say Paul was out of context. Go and read your Bible very well. He will lift a scripture from the prophets or lift a scripture from the Psalms to say something in the epistles. And when you go back to where he lifted it from, you may think it's out of context, but it's not. The revelation of scriptures are in layers. It's just that every explanation, everything you see from them must reveal Christ. I must reveal the love of God. Do you understand? I must be consistent with the revelation of the principles of the kingdom. Amen. So when we talk about that being a seed, he says your seed shall dispossess the Gentiles. Meaning with your giving you have dominion. I wish I had an active church. I wish I had an active church here this morning. He says your seed shall dispossess the Gentiles. Oh my goodness. Listen, that means you can turn the hands and the tithes to your favor in the marketplace. You can. You can take possession like this. We saw that the word for possession, Abraham responded by giving a tenth. He says, your seed shall dispossess the Gentiles, shall inherit the Gentiles, and the desolate cities shall be inhabited. That's what he's saying. With your giving, you will collect the wealth of the nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are building. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. Now, when you start reading from chapter 8, you know he's talking about giving material things. Alright. And I should say this at this point. When we use the word seed for giving, we did not invent it in the 21st century. Because you know, some people come to church and when they talk about sow your seed, I was sowing my seed, and they'll be like, oh, all these new generation pastors have come again. What is seed? Seed is maize that you go to plant in the farm. Forget that thing. You are ignorant. Ignorant of scriptures. Paul referred to the givings of the saints as seed. He's everywhere in the New Testament. So we did not invent it. Paul referred to the givings of the saints as seed. When he talk about God will multiply your seed sown, he was talking about what they gave. When he said, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, he was talking about what they gave to the saints at Jerusalem. He talked about those who communicated to him in the gospel. He referred to the financial and the material givings as seed. Amen. So we didn't start it. We didn't start it. So you know, we didn't start it. From chapter 8, you see that it was talking about we do you to wit. That's King James. We want you to know of the grace bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And he went further to talk about that grace, giving grace. So we get to chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministers grace, so that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Oh my goodness. And multiply your seed sown. And then increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now, multiplying your seed sown talks about the material harvest from what you sow. We can see it that way. That's your seed multiplied. Do you understand? It also talks about even the seed you have sown, God multiplies it. Did you get that? But look at the second part. And increase the fruit of your righteousness. What is it talking about? What is the fruit of your righteousness? Isaiah 61 shows us what the fruit of your righteousness is. Go to Isaiah 61. You will see from that the fruit of your righteousness is dominion. Put it up. Isaiah 61. When he says from verse 3. Put up from verse 3. The spirit of the Lord God from verse 3. Aye. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise of the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called. See, when my eyes saw this, I shouted in my study. That they might be called what? Oh, hold on. Trees of righteousness. What do trees of righteousness do? Oh, embassy of heaven. Now. Hey. I'm a young pastor. Please talk when you're in church. Be active. Do you understand? What do trees of righteousness do? They bear fruits of righteousness. They bear fruits of righteousness. They bear fruits of righteousness. He said, they shall be called the trees of righteousness. The plantings of the... So what are they going to do? Next verse. And they, the trees of righteousness now, their result is the fruit of righteousness. This is what God will be multiplying when you sow your seed. That's what he said. And they shall build the old ways. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Next verse. Look at this. Dominion. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Oh. You know, I had time to rejoice when I saw this. This is dominion. As the tree, as the fruit of righteousness. So when the Bible says God will multiply your seed, so he said, he that ministers seed to the sower will give you bread and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. That means he will cause you to increase in building the desolate places, in restoring the waste places. He will cause an increase in strangers feeding your flock. Put up that verse 5 again. Strangers shall feed your flock. That Isaiah 61. Strangers shall feed your flock. Can you see? Sorry, shall stand and feed your flock. And listen, the sons of alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Dominion. 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 Listen, the kingdom of God operates by a system of equity. Equity. And let me explain what I mean. There are many definitions of equity. Let me explain what I mean. We have bankers in the house. One of the things they refer to as equity, top level banking, or some level of banking, is when you want to raise funds. I'm not talking about the normal equity fund, okay, for the business. That's good. When you want to raise something from a bank, large amounts. In fact, it is said that anything, once you have $400 million, you can build a city. You can do anything in the world. You can do anything in the world. So you don't want, for example, you want to raise $10 million. That's from banco, not venture capital, not angel investors. Now you want to raise $10 million. You can't go to a bank and say, I want $10 million. I want $10 million to do what? You show them the proposal is not enough. When you want $10 million, the bankers in the house will agree with me. Your nice, who is looking at a proposal in the bank? They will look at your financial records, and they will look at your current assets. Am I right, ma? I'm right, right? They'll look at your current asset. Oh, glory to God. So you need $10 million. They'll ask you, what do you have? That is equity. So you have $2 million, we can raise the rest. Hello? You have assets, what is, we can raise the rest. I said the kingdom of God operates by a system of equity. By a system of equity. Earth must provide equity for heaven to move. Ah. Oh, glory to God. After the ultimate sacrifice was made, heaven doesn't move like that. Earth must move. Then heaven moves. Haven't you noticed that even God could not give his only begotten son until Abraham gave his only begotten son? That was for him to have the legal backing. Listen, God is a judge. He is the judge of the Supreme Court of the universe. He does things according to laws. So he told Abraham, I need a man on the earth. He told Abraham because God knew that he needed for it to be legal for him to give his only son. Somebody on earth must also give his only son. The willingness, he needed the willingness of a man on earth to give his only son whom he loves. So he told Abraham, take Isaac, take thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest. That's in God's word though. So as far as God is concerned, Ishmael, listen, Ishmael is a type of the first Adam. Don't you know that Adam was called the son of God? But when Jesus came, we call him the only begotten son of God. You understand? So Isaac was a type of Jesus. He says, take your son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and sacrifice him upon the mountain. The mountain of Moriah, to show you that this is so real. Do you know that Golgotha, the place of the skull, is the same spot where the ram was caught in a thicket? Where Abraham came to sacrifice Isaac? Is somebody hearing me this morning? No coincidence. Equity. Equity. He gave. God gave. That was his heir. He gave him. The Bible says Abraham sacrificed Isaac and received him back in a figure. That means Isaac died and was raised back to life. He actually was convinced that after sacrificing him, God will raise him back. Oh, glory to God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. He knew. He was convinced. So when we see in Second Kings chapter 3, when the king of Moab, yes, the man that sacrificed his only son, his son that should have reigned in his stead. Oh, can I talk to you this morning? Listen, Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. So he wasn't a minor prophet. His prophetic accuracy was flawless. He gave a word. Watch this. He gave a word that this guy should make ditches and there will be no rain, no wind, but the valley shall be filled with water. And it happened. And from there, the children of Israel had the advantage in war. Oh my goodness. They pursued the Moabites. And then this guy was determined never to pay tribute again. He had posterity in mind. And the Bible says he took his son, his only son that should have reigned in his stead. Aye! Listen, Elisha gave a word that God is with you and God shall subdue your enemies before you. That was the word from God. But you see, a man took his son that should have reigned in his stead, a hidden king. Watch this. The Bible says he sacrificed him upon the walls, Malakapa. What happened? There was great indignation against a people that God was behind. You now see why Christians still suffer in the marketplace. Those other people understand sacrifice. Why was that great indignation? You know why? God withdrew himself. God went back like this. Why? God has respect for sacrifice. And he is a judge. He is a just judge. He is a just judge. He is a just judge. He withdrew. He saw a man do what he thought only he and Abraham could do. Oh, glory to God. It wasn't some random sacrifice of human beings, because heathen kings could do that. God saw the man's heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have I convinced you that your giving is connected to dominion and changing situations? I could show you scripture upon scripture. So what is it about giving? It's a law that governs God's kingdom. God's kingdom, it must be done right. Let me tell you three laws that govern giving itself as a law. As somebody say, do law govern laws? Yes, now it's in the Bible. Hope you know that love is a law. The Bible calls it the new law. But even love, as a law, has an input from the law of faith. Faith too is a law. We say the Bible, we say by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And the Bible says this faith works by law. By love. And love too is a law. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. The Bible calls it the royal law. The royal law. Glory to God. So giving in itself is the principle. For it to be correctly applied, there are things you must understand. Three things. Number one, honor. Number two, love. Number three, faith. Listen, the foundational, you know, I told you that fasting is built on the principle of abstinence. Let me say it this way. Giving is built on the principle of honor, love, and faith. If putting it that way will help us understand. That means, listen, every time you have these three things governing your giving, whether you are giving to the poor, you are giving to church, you are giving to the anointed, you are giving your tithe, and you understand that, look, the background principle of my giving is honor, that giving will be productive. Honor. When God talks about giving, he has honor in his mind. A man of God once said that you can respect with words, but you honor with substance. So you can only respect with words. When your seed has not made connection with God, with the man of God, you just respect God or respect that man. The honor has not entered. Amen. And by now you know, when the Bible talks about honoring your parents, giving is involved. Glory to God. Honor. Very important. Honor. What is on God's mind is not just the offering, the partnership, the seed that you give, the first fruit that you give, the tithe that you give. It's supposed to be a vehicle to carry honor. Oh, hallelujah. It ought to be a vehicle to carry honor. Even when you give to the poor. Listen, the Bible says a man who despises the poor reproaches his maker. Aye. That means when you give to the poor with honor, you are honoring your maker. By converse, it's honor. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. It's honor. Honor. I'm the first fruit of your increase. It's honor. When we talk about tithing, think honor. When we talk about giving to a man of God, think honor. When we talk about giving to your pastor, think honor. When we talk about giving to the gospel to move forward, think honor. When we talk about giving to the poor, think honor. Giving to your parents, think honor. Giving to the needy, think honor. So you won't throw money at someone because you think he needs it. just take this. I mean, there's no blessing in that. There's no blessing. You've been stopping. No, you don't do that. Even when you give to the needy, you must do it with dignity. and honor. You package it knowing that you are not doing them a favor, you are doing you a favor. So it's not just when you are giving to your pastor or giving to God you think about honor. No, even when you give to the needy, the underlying principle is honor. Honor. Love. For God so loved the world that he that he gave. Love. Any love that doesn't give is fake. Amen. I say that again. Any love that doesn't give is fake. I love God. And you are not giving to him. You know, Bible talks about those who honor with their lips. It's fake. The expression, love, for God's love the world that he gave. You have to give to God if you love him. Hallelujah. And the third one is faith. Meaning, let me explain this way. It means faith in the principle of giving. Since it's a law, there is an expected and a predictable outcome. It means when you give, you must have faith of an expectation of the harvest. Oh, hallelujah. And there must be an expectation of the harvest. So the law of faith is involved in giving. The Bible says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. So you expect God to pay you with interest. Oh, glory to God. So it's for you. It's for you. Peter said, Master, we have left all to follow you. And Jesus said, whoever leaves father, mother, husband, wife, children, lands, houses for my sake and for the gospel shall receive a hundredfold in this life. That means everything you give for gospel, when we say partnership, global impact partnership, and you're a partner and you are giving, you are not throwing your money away. There's a harvest. Or we make a call in church and you give, or you give to the anointed, you are not throwing it away. You're not throwing it away. There's an expectation of a harvest. God does not owe any man. No, he doesn't. He doesn't owe any man. Hallelujah. He doesn't owe any man. He doesn't owe any man. When a farmer goes to the farm to plant his cash crop, and of course there are different kinds of seed. When you plant corn, you expect it in 90 days. 80 to 90 days. Am I right? When you plant cocoa, do you expect it by April? Talk to me. When you plant orange seed, do you wait till... Do you do it in June? So you want to go and harvest orange and export. Is that what you do? No. I mean, there are different kinds of seed too. Listen, there are seeds you sow that the harvest will come to you later, because they are like perennial crops. Perennial crops. Hallelujah. So you don't bother. You know those seeds have journeyed to the future.
Yes.
So sometimes even when you give sacrificially, and it's as though there's a press down. Know that the running over is coming.
Yes, sir.
You understand that scripture? So it's a gift. And then what follows? Press down. As though there is a press down. Don't worry. There is a rolling over coming. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we give and it's as though the worst financial season of our life just appears. It just comes from, I awarded Lord Jesus. I just made the greatest sacrifice of my life. That's a press down. Hold on. The rolling over is coming. Hallelujah. He said, running over shall men pour into your corpus. I love the Greek word. It means he's a doctor. He knows what corpus means. Yeah. Hallelujah. Into your pocket. It means your sack. Your sack. So you give in expectation. When you give to the anointed, know that his angels were there looking at you. Fire, fire. When you enter into trouble or you want to jump to a higher orbit, and maybe your own angels are too weak, the one assigned to you for your rank, his angels will come and assist you. Oh. So you have to know. You have to know. You have to know. When you understand this, you'll be believing God to give you seed. You remember that scripture where it said, God ministers seed to the sower. Are you a sower? If you are positioned as a sower, God will give you seed to sow. Oh, glory to you. Can ask us. You know, there was a time some years ago, I first lady, I would just, this month, you should sow 1 million naira seed. I would have just joined our hands. In 2 weeks, 1 million naira came. Somebody came and gave us 1 million naira. We went and sowed it as seed. Why? We wanted God to minister seed to us. We need to sow. This month, let's sow 1 million naira seed to this man of God. Join our hands in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. But as it came, we knew there's no calculation. It doesn't matter what we needed to do with money. We are seed to us. So there's an understanding. Yes, sir. And while we're sowing that seed, we knew a transaction was happening. A transaction was happening. Oh, one of the things that was on my mind was that this man's angels are looking at me. I said, his angels are looking at me right now. And I was happy, we're happy, we're rejoicing, we're smiling. The things he said were nice, but you're not, he's not even, my mind wasn't there. I just knew transaction. Glory to God. And in expectation of a harvest, suddenly millions look like thousands to you. Let me say this as I'm talking about giving. Listen, you must learn to deliberately increase your threshold. You know, you can be a giver and be scattering, and even in harvest. Let me use as an illustration, and this is very important. You have to catch this. Deliberately increasing your giving threshold. As long as I'm a giver, I give this person 100,000, I've given 200,000. No. And you have never given a million naira seed. You have not jumped that threshold. Why not put the money together and sow 1 million? Or you've never given 50,000. Pray, sow 50,000. Set a new target. Set a new target. I want to give my first 100,000 naira seed. You give it. Set a new target. I want to give my first 500,000 or 200,000 naira seed. You give. Set a new target. I want to give my first 1 million naira seed. And it's something deliberate you are doing. You understand? Other giving may come in, you do that, but you know that you are deliberately increasing your threshold. Do you understand? Yes, so you know what threshold you've not done. Have you ever given a billionaire out? If it's no, then you know it's a next threshold to look forward to. I'm going to give a millionaire to God or to God through church or through the anointed. Do you understand? I'm going to give my first 100,000. Not me saying. Deliberately increase your threshold. We've already seen a picture of giving our first 10 million naira seed. That's what we see. Glory to God, either to church or to the anointed. Hallelujah. From there you jump and then you are talking about 50 million. I was talking about 100 million. I was talking about your first $1 million seed. It's the principle. You walk it. You walk it. You walk it. Meaning you don't. Have you ever seen a farmer who just sat by and said, let the land produce by itself? No. So you engage it. You plan your monthly giving. You plan your giving to the anointed. You plan your giving to the gospel. Now that leads me to the four kinds of giving you should pay attention to. Number one, the giving of your tithe. Listen, don't let social media pastor you. Did you hear what I said? Don't let social media pastor you. I've done an extensive teaching on tithing. Because I too had an argument about tithing. And my doubts were cleared. It's not now, years ago. Some people are just talking. You know, this move is not new. It's social media that is making it popular. It's not new. It's been there from the 50s, way before then. It keeps coming in cycles. It's not you. No, suddenly you just feel revelated. That tithing is not New Testament. Let me tell you something. You know, I talked about how that you are not the only ones that fast and pray. Do you know we are not the only ones that give tithes? In fact, tithing has almost become a universal practice among successful and serious minded people. Cultists, Muslims, Jewish people, Christians. Do you understand? Cutting edge people. Who is that? Go and find out. And then you are here arguing. You are here arguing. No, the fact that you are born again, does this stop gravity from working? What was the last time you floated in the air? You said, we are now free. You are free. Jump in the air. No, when you climb five-story building, just pass the veranda. Just pass the, is it veranda they call it? And walk in the air outside. And watch what will happen. Nonsense. Are you not free? Does it mean you are not born again? Does it mean God has not, Jesus has not paid the price? It's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's not a commandment. Tithing is not a commandment that we keep. It's a spiritual law that we practice. Have I helped you? The first conversation around tithing, which is at Genesis 14, was the New Testament conversation. Melchizedek showed up, who is a New Testament order. He brought forth bread and wine, which is the communion element, which became possible after the New Testament came. What are you talking about? No, really. The Bible said Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. Communion element. Communion element. Communion element. I'm teaching you how to dominate the air. Never play politics with your tithe. I have more exhaustive talk, but I can't do that. I'm way out of time. But I just want to wrap this up. Never play politics with your tithe. Demons don't understand politics. When they see an open space, they're coming. And when you break laws, there's an open space. There's a breach in the spirit. Amen. No, it's just like talking wrong. It's just like talking wrong. Does the fact that Jesus has done all save you from the consequences of speaking wrong? When you don't tame your tongue, it doesn't. It doesn't. See, you have to understand the things that are revealed as patterns, as thread through scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Do you know that in Genesis, if you read a Jewish Bible, watch this, or look at me, everyone. When you read a Jewish Bible, Genesis, when you read from King James, you see, and God said. In the Jewish Bible, and God said was 9 times before that Genesis 28. And what followed was God blessed them and said. So the 10th time of God saying, he said he blessed them and he gave them dominion. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion. That's the 10th part. That's the 10th part. That's the 10th part. That's the tithe. Meaning tithe is connected to dominion on the earth. Is there as a thread from Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation? When Jesus healed 10 lepers, how many came back? The tithe of it came back. You see, when people are selfish, see, that's why you should look at the life of the people you want to listen to. The Bible said, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, considering the Greek word is anastrophe. It means manner of life. Manner of life. What's their manner of life? What is the outcome of their conversation? It doesn't just follow people because they are shining on TV. How long on social media? How long have they been there? How long? Can you measure their consistency? Listen, I told you, faith is a track record. Faith is not appearing with nice things to say. No, it's a track record. Because you learn some things here and there, you are coming to talk. Where is your track record? Where are your faith receipts? Where are your faith receipts? What have you fought with your faith? Faith is a track record. You don't just come and bamboozle people and try to use controversy to become popular. Listen, I've told you, it's from the Bible, I've read it to you. He said, whose conversation? Whose faith follow? That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, verse 7 and 8. He said, whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday to their, meaning their manner of life has revealed that Jesus is consistent. Oh, hallelujah. I feel I'm preaching this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Considering the end of their conversation. Be deliberate about it and give your tithe as a tenth. Not say, oh, my tithe is 20%. Do that one as extra seed. Do you understand? As a tenth. Oh, hallelujah. And by the way, your tithe is for the house of God. It's not for the poor. Oh, my goodness. I have to say that. It's not for the poor. It's not for your uncle who was in the hospital. Hi. Let me try and remember. Maybe the media guys will search the message so that I go and listen to. You know, they say, carry the tithe and give it to the poor. Read your Bible very well. He's talking about three kinds of tithe in the law. That was in the law. Three kinds of tithe. And even the one they pick from Nehemiah, go and check it very well. It's the second tithe. There is the sacred tithe, which is the first tithe. It's for the Levites. There is the vocational tithe. Which is the one he said, you take it to where the Lord has appointed. You shall do a feast and invite people. You shall eat the tithe. That's another tithe. He called it the second tithe. Then he talks about the social justice tithe. You know, when we say tithe, you think it's just one part. No, it just says first 10%, second 10%, third 10%. That's what he's talking. That means if your salary is 100,000, the first tithe is the first 10%. When the Bible talks about the second tithe as the social justice tithe that you give to the poor, he's talking about the second 10%. That's another 10,000. Do you understand now? He now said the third tithe, you shall take it for feast. That's the feasting tithe. He said, take another 10,000 and go and feast. Do you understand? So the second and the third tithe is not talking about the sacred tithe. No. It's there in scriptures. Kai. Am I blessing somebody? So your sacred tithe is not to give to the poor. That's social justice tithe. And the Jews understand that. That's those who are even operating at the law that we talk about. The Jews understand that. You don't use it to say tithe is to do good works. You know, listen, you serve God according to prescribed order. You don't serve him from your head based on what you think. You know, people are just doing things. God loves the poor now. If you carry your poor, it's not tight. No, you are. Uzzah was struck dead. Uzzah was struck dead. Why? They were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant upon the shoulders of the priest. They wanted to do a fizzy. They put it inside carts. God was angry. No, listen, watch it. I'm serious. When David went to find out what happened, he was told, he said, you did not carry it according to prescribed order. Your tithe is not for feeding the poor. Set the percentage for feeding the poor. Your sacred tithe, you give it to Melchizedek. Listen, you don't give your tithe to pastor. If you gave your tithe to pastor, sorry for you. I told you about the great exchange. How many remember the illustration? The great exchange. You give your tithe to God. God gives the person he has sent the tithe to do his work on the earth. You understand? Let me leave it at that. Hope that helps someone. Hallelujah. That's the first thing this year. Your tithe. The second is your gospel, giving to the gospel. Give it to the gospel. From your income, separate the percentage that goes into the preaching of the gospel. Hey, You know, I have many things to say. My time is fast spent. Giving to the gospel. Listen. In the Old Testament, all they had was the temple to maintain. In the New Testament, we have a gospel to take to the nations. And we also have the temple to maintain. So there has to be another system. Let me tell you, a church living on only tithe and offering will just be able to maintain itself. To take the gospel out, and is there in the New Testament? Don't forget that the people who were giving to Jesus or their substance were also giving tithe. It was a cultural Jewish thing. Do you understand? They were also giving tithe. Amen. Gospel offering. And it has a blessing. Hallelujah. It has a blessing. It does have a blessing. The third type of giving is giving to the anointed. Giving to the anointed. Giving to the anointed. Okay. There are many scriptures who, you know, the Bible talks about communicating in all good things to those who teach you the truth, the word, right? That's one of it. We can also run it from Old Testament to New Testament. Genesis, you see it there. Communicating to those who teach you the word. You must be planned for. They may not ask you, but you must be planned for. No, you don't let a long time passes. You have never communicated to your teachers of your substance. You know, I'm trying to save time. That's why I'm not reading scripture. Maybe when we're doing some projection, we'll put the scriptures out at another time. You are deliberate about it. It strengthens your hands. It gives you dominion. Hallelujah. What's the fourth part? Giving to the needy. Giving to the needy. We'll stop there. Giving to the needy. You must be on your budget. You must be deliberate. In our ministry, in our financial policy, we have a percentage that goes to the needy. And most times we exceed it. Most times. Amen. Most times you exceed it. You do it with honor, with love. I'm a respect. And don't say, even me, I'm the needy. As I am like this, I am the needy. You don't say that. When you say that, you won't, Satan will cheat you. You know, that's the mental disposition of some Christian. Say, Pastor, I am the needy. Please talk to them. Talk to them. Nobody has looked at me in this church. Have they not seen that is only one shirt I've been using? Have they not seen? Brothers and sisters, tell yourself you are not the needy. Even if you have need in your life, in your heart, take that posture that you are a helper. Sent as a partner with God to help your generation. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you. Amen. Glory to God. Can we just in 1 minute just pray out the things we've heard? That's just declarations of faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a giver. I am giving to these three things. I'm giving to fasting. I'm giving to prayer. I am giving to giving. Just open your mouth and pray about that. The Bible talks about the giving grace. Declare that is upon you. Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody give the Lord a shout? Amen.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.